Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 431, the stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Open, saith the Lord, wide thy mouth believing, this my covenant word, I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving, and what follows. Of 431, the stanzas 4, 5, and 6. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Corinthians 12. But first we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12. And now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God call Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now with God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, and nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. On one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show we unto you a more excellent way. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then in the midst of all the trials of life, and in the midst of distressing circumstances, then thou hast yet left many good and precious things in the midst of us and our children. Then also on this very day, then thy mercies have been multiplied. Then thou dealest not according to our many transgressions, but then in thy long suffering and in thy goodness, then in this day we have been the recipients of many blessings from above. May we be given to see it. May we receive hearts to be humbled thereunder. And may we have a tongue to praise thee. Thou art so worthy to be served, to be honored, and to be glorified. Then also on this day, in these weeks, then must up much of the earth lie still. But, O Lord, it is written in thy holy word by one of thy prophets, when he has seen a vision, that the angels have went to and fro through the whole earth, and then they have brought a solemn report that all the earth is at rest and lieth still, O Lord. And then also under these circumstances, then thou wert waiting to be gracious, and may it not have to be said of us and our children that we lie so at rest, and that the earth lieth still. Ah, thou knowest that by nature that we resemble those dead bones in that valley. There were very many, and they were very dry. But when thou hast begun to blow with thy Holy Spirit, then there was a trembling among the bones. Ah, Lord, what a stillness there is. What a stillness there could be in the life of thy church, in the way of prayer, in the way of intercession, in the way of thanksgiving, in the way of wrestling with thee for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name, in the way of watching. Ah, Lord, come then in this evening down with thy Spirit and with thy power. Then surely, then thou was something special to say unto us. And may it be granted, as the psalmist has declared, the Lord has spoken once, twice have I heard it, that power belongeth unto God, but he was also given to testify that there is mercy with thee, Lord. We humbly beg of thee in this evening hour for a blessing upon thy holy word. May it be in this evening that the exalted King, that he may ride upon the white horse, that he may take many an arrow and shoot it into the hearts of our boys, of our girls, of our young people, the middle-aged and the elderly ones. We are all hastening to that never-ending eternity. But wilt thou also remember thy people, where we hope to hear of the precious benefits which thy dear Son has merited for his church, and which are given by the administration of the Holy Spirit. Wilt thou remember us as a congregation? Remember the consistory. Remember each and every one, from the youngest to the oldest. Bless the means of grace in the church, in the family circle. Remember our Christian school, when for the teachers, for the parents, for the students in this week, then in the day of tomorrow, the labors hope to resume. Wilt thou grant strength, wilt thou grant courage, wilt thou grant prayer above all. May thy word be blessed. We commend unto thee thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. Wilt thou remember our theological school? Remember the instructors and the students, also under the circumstances. May it please thee to uphold the persecuted church. Remember all mission work, also our mission field. Remember thy servants and the team under the distressing circumstances. Wilt thou watch over them? Wilt thou care for them? And may thy word be blessed. May it please thee to take the veil off the Jewish nation. Lord, remember the nations of the earth. Remember the leaders also of this country. May it please thee to grant them wisdom and understanding. And may the need for prayer be felt. Ah, we may humbly ask thee that the time may arrive and that the congregations may soon gather together under the administration of word and sacrament, all bounded upon the hearts of our leaders, that thou art the one that must keep us, thou art the one that must bless the means. May we be found more to be a praying people. Lord, remember the manifold needs amongst us. Wilt thou provide for our daily bread? Thou knowest all the difficulties, all the concerns, all the anxiety. May thou grant that dependent life, where we may lay it all before thee. We have sung together with the psalmist, open wide thy mouth, and ah, thou knowest that true opening of our mouth, that is a gift from above. Thou hast said, acknowledge me in all thy ways, and I will direct thy paths. Then we commend unto thee the mourning ones, also the families who in the past week have lost loved ones by the cold hand of death. Wilt thou remember those that are called upon when beloved ones are brought to the cemetery, although they may not be present, but may listen along. We commend unto thee all the elderly ones in our care home, with all those who care for them, those that are bound to their home. Remember all the lonely stations. May they be given to experience that thou knowest of them. Remember all the sick and afflicted, those with a dreaded disease. Remember the difficulties of the body, of the mind. Wilt thou remember the handicapped, with those that care for them. Remember the member under censor. Remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. And Lord, when thou granteth health and strength, when there are not so many difficulties, although many fears, may we be given to pause and consider all thy goodness, and may it be thy goodness that leadeth to a true repentance and a need to be washed from all our sins in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We humbly ask thee, Lord, for thy help in this evening hour. Open thy word, open our hearts, open our mouth. Remember those that may gather with us, just a few. Remember all the family circles, all those at home. May they be given to listen as they have never heard before. May it please thee to graciously take away everything which could be a hindrance, and then by renewal we have to confess that there is no worthiness in us, but, ah, Lord, wilt thou remember us with a favor that thou bearest unto thy people under thy solemn speaking. May it please thee to do a great work amongst us and our children, to grant a spirit-given revival, and that also the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 24, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Who, O Lord, with thee abiding in thy house shall be thy guest, who was feet to Zion turning in thy holy hill shall rest, and what follows. Psalter 24, the three stanzas. Thank you. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 21, the question and answers 55 and 56. Question 55, what do you understand by the communion of saints? Answer first, that all and everyone who believes, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of him and of all his riches and gifts. Secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. Question 56. What believest thou concerning the forgiveness of sins? Answer, that God, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins, neither my corrupt nature, against which I have to struggle all my life long, but will graciously impute to me the righteousness of Christ, that I may never be condemned before the tribunal of God. Lord's Day number 21, question and answers 55 and 56, speaks of the blessed benefits for the true church of Jesus Christ. With three thoughts, in the first place, the blessed communion of the church. In the second place, the extensive duty of the church. And in the third place, the perfect forgiveness for the church. The blessed benefits for the true church of Jesus Christ. The blessed communion of the church. The extensive duty of the church. And thirdly, the perfect forgiveness for the church. Beloved congregation, we have heard the last Lord's Day from the first question and answer, question and answer 53, question and answer 54, concerning the Holy Catholic Church of Christ. And then we have heard that from the beginning to the end of the world, that Christ gathers his church. We have heard in this morning of the white horse with the rider, with a crown, with a bow, and that he goeth forth to conquer, and that work continueth because we have heard to the end of the world. That tells us, my unconverted fellow travelers, that the King is still gathering that church, and to that end, place yourself faithfully under the means of grace. That is where the Lord has promised in a special way to gather his church. But Christ does not only gather his church, he also defends that church, and he preserves it to the end. The perseverance of the saints and that is based upon, in the first place, upon the sovereign election of the Father. In the second place, upon the meritorial work of Jesus Christ, where He has purchased His church. And in the third place, by the loving and the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. And then thy church, agreeing in true faith, they become students. They are taught by the same Spirit we have heard out of 1 Corinthians 12 of the gifts which Christ has merited for His church and which are granted by the Spirit. And we have heard each time it was stressed that it was by the same Spirit. We must understand 1 Corinthians 12 in the context of the time where the Lord, where displeased the Lord in the New Testament church in the beginning to grant those special gifts, but they were only for a time. Agreeing in true faith that I am, O young and old, have we now become a member of that true church? And now the instructor may declare, forever shall remain a living member thereof. Then the instructors are given to speak of a living member in the visible church. Then there are also dead members, boys and girls. Then we could make the difference. When you have a fence post, it has a purpose, but that fence post does not grow, remains the same summer and winter, it is true. The one time that post can become wet, another time it is drier, but it remains a dead post. Then what is solemn thought? Then in the church we can be used as scaffolding, had a greater meaning in former days. And now in our day in the construction industry, with the telehandlers, with the lifts, then scaffolding is not used as often as in former days. In former days, when a church was built, another building, then it was surrounded by scaffolding. It had a purpose. It was used at the labors that they could build the building, but that scaffold would never become part of the church when that scaffold was used to carry the timbers, the stones, to be placed upon the building. And then when the building was finished, then that scaffold was taken down in the early days, made of wood. And then when it had become old, then it was burnt. Then we could speak of temporary members. Think of Judas. What a large place he had in the church. But it has become visible and manifest that he was not a living member. Then we can even be unprofitable members, that we are a grief to the church and an offense to the Lord. We could speak of rotten members. John Calvin has said, when he has spoken of church discipline, that those rotten members must be removed, that they affect not the others. There was once a father and mother with children, and they had a son not so old, and he has become friends with a boy down the street, but that boy was not so religious. Maybe he did not even go to church, it is not told. And then that father, he has spoken to a son. And then he said, son, it is not good, because it shall have an evil influence. But the son did not understand, and he did not believe. And then that father received that thought. He knew his little boy loved apples. And to that end, he went to the market, and he bought a beautiful basket of shining apples. And he also managed to obtain a rotten one. And then he put that rotten one in the midst of the basket, and he gave it to his son. And then his boy, you could see it on his face. He was filled with gladness and joy because he loved apples. And then he suddenly saw the rotten one. And then immediately he was his intention to take that rotten one out. But then his father said, my son, you must leave that rotten one in the basket, because perhaps the good apples can make that rotten apple better. And then that son shook his head, that it can never be. And then the father had a beautiful opportunity to tell his boy the necessity that he may have friends that go to church, that read their Bible, and have respect for the same. And now in this evening, concerning that living church, then we hope to speak of the benefits which Christ has merited for his church, and which is granted by the work of the Holy Spirit. What do you understand by the communion of saints? Answer, first, that all and everyone who believes, being members of Christ. Thus then in this answer, then a distinction is made. Oh, for examination, whether we belong to the true church of Jesus Christ, or whether we have become a living member. And then the instructors first mention, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of him and of all his riches. When we speak of the communion of saints, what are we to understand by that word saints? In the Roman Catholic Church, then saints are those that have done many good works, a special place in the church. In the Word of God, that word saints means to be holy ones, separate ones, consecrated ones. Thus then the instructors, they are first given to speak of the foundation and the root of the communion of saints. It is a great privilege, a great blessing, when in the midst of our congregation, when there may be much love, much compassion, helping one another, the Sarah Circle, that is straight a great blessing from above. But now the instructors, then they make a separation, and then also the danger in our day. Many churches, they are social gatherings, and that is what they focus on. But without what our instructors are speaking about, may that be our concern. A great blessing when there is much liberality, when there is much love, much helping one another. Do we not read in Acts 20, verse 35, that it is better to give than to receive? Do we not read in Proverbs 11, verse 25, that the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered himself? Oh, are their souls with all the works of compassion? Do we not read in Matthew 10, verse 42, of those that may give a cup of cold water to the saints, that they shall receive their reward? Oh, are there souls that are exercised with the many works of compassion, with the many deeds of love, whether we are included in the instruction of our instructors concerning the true church of God? Oh, have we become exercised? Because what do those saints learn? That they are so black, that they are so vile, and that with all their works, that they are a guilty sinner still. Oh, also in the works of compassion, how much there can be of self in so many different ways, that also in the labors of love, they need to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone who believes, being members of Christ, thus the foundation, the root of the communion of saints, that is the communion with Christ. Thus the instructors first speak of vertical matters before they speak of horizontal matters. Oh, to be a member of Christ, then we need to know him. It is true, in the way of experience, the Lord looks down upon poor sinners in the Son of his eternal love. Outside of Christ, then the Lord can have no communion. But now it is so necessary in the life of a child of God. Oh, in the moment of regeneration, then they become partakers of him. They become partakers. They receive knowledge of his gifts. Oh, they receive regeneration, justification, sanctification. It is from the Lord's side. Then they are given to experience the special gifts, the precious gifts in the realm of grace. They receive faith, hope, and love. They receive repentance, humility. They receive access at the throne of grace. But now the necessity for the comfort of the church, that they become partakers of him, to come to a saving knowledge of the Son of God, all his riches and all his gifts. Ah, the riches for the church of God. When we think of a Ruth, then she has gleaned on the field of Boaz. Then she has that invitation to sit at his table. Then Boaz has reached part corn to her. But what was now necessary? With all those gifts, then Ruth has experienced that she was a poor widow still. But then in Ruth 4, when she was married to Boaz, then the riches of Boaz has become hers. That is the portion of the church of Jesus Christ. Our second thought, the extensive duty of the church. And then we read in the furtherance of this answer, after we have heard of the foundation, secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty, readily and cheerfully, to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. That everyone in the church, the little ones, the ones that are led further, that they are all called upon for their duty. than it is necessary concerning this duty. We have heard that partakers with him that the church may be much in the presence of the Lord, much in their inner chamber, and to experience that sweet communion, Lord, with thee. Then the instructors have said that everyone must know what to be his duty. Is that now necessary for the church? What a privilege when the church may be active also in this way. Nevertheless, then in this answer, there is an exhortation, and that is on account of our fallen nature, and that flesh is never converted, then there can be so much selfishness, but also concerning the busyness of the time, providing in the families for us and our children, but then also that unbelief. Oh, how often it can be when the Lord begins in the life of a child of God, that with their labors that there is a voice. You are so busy, and that with the heart of love that they know, but you can give that cup of cold water, but you are not a living member. Look in your heart, how black, how vile. Think of your thoughts, then it is better that you lay it aside, because you were such a great sinner. And therefore, our instructors, that everyone know it to be his duty, readily and cheerfully. When love may be an exercise, when the church may be given to experience, David has spoken thereof, concerning the building of the temple. Then David has said that it all comes from above. And what David and the people were given to give so cheerfully and so willfully for the building of the house of the Lord in Solomon's time, then they were only given what they have received. The apostle in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 7, so let him not give grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And in Galatians 6 verse 2, as therefore we have opportunity, then the apostle Paul has called to give liberally, especially to the household of faith, that everyone must know what to be his duty, readily and cheerfully, to employ his gifts. We have heard out of 1 Corinthians 12 that the Lord is free, that he dispenses his different gifts to different members, but they are all necessary. We read in Matthew 25 of the parable of the talents, of one of five and of 10 talents. And that those stewards, they were called upon to use the talents which the Lord has entrusted unto them. What an examples we have in the Bible, that those members of Christ, that they were given readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts, for the advantage and salvation of other members. Do you hear it, congregation? The instructors did not only say for the advantage of other members, thus to help them outwardly in many different ways. But then the instructors have said the advantage and salvation. What an examining word. And now when we read the Old Testament, what an examples we have of intercessory prayer. In Genesis 18, we read of Abraham that he became exercised with his nephew Lot in Sodom. He was given to beg if there were 50. And finally he said, "Oh Lord, be not angry if there be 10. Think of Moses in Exodus 32, when the children of Israel were sinning everything away. Aaron has not stood strong, but he has given in. They have made a golden calf. They were dancing around the same. And then a Moses to employ his gifts. Then in Exodus 32, verse 32, then he was given to beg the Lord. He has even said, Lord, blot me then out of thy book, but remember thy Zion. Nehemiah, how profitable he was for the children of Judah when they have returned. Concerning the broken walls, we read that he has wept when he has heard that Jerusalem was in a lowly station, that the walls have not been rebuilt, and then he has made intercession to his God. Think of a Joseph, how profitable he was. Oh, it has went so different than he thought. But a living member, unfathomable and mysterious ways, could not understand it, but how the Lord has used them to feed his father's house. We read of the Shunammite, when the prophet Elijah, when he is dropped by many a times, that she has built together with her husband a little room, a table, a stool, also a candlestick and a bed. When we think of Elijah, oh, what a close life. The communion of saints, what a blessing and a privilege it is. When the Lord, when the Spirit binds the matter upon the heart of their fellow man, do we not read it? In the time of Elijah and Elisha, when they have visited the schools of the prophets, and when the sons of the prophet has told Elijah that their master would be taken into heaven. Oh, when that Shunammite woman has come with her dead son on the bed of the prophet, and then the prophet was given to declare that it was hidden from him. Think of the little maid with Naaman, where she was given to speak good of the God of Israel. In the way of admonishment, we read in Psalm 141, verse 5, let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil. What an example in the New Testament. Women that ministered unto Christ, the paralyzed man, that there were four friends that have brought that man to the Lord Jesus Christ. The woman who was a sinner in Luke 7, who has anointed Christ and filled that room with precious ointment, likewise Mary in John 12, Dorcas, there was a weeping at her funeral. Think of Matthew 14, maybe our children think that communion of saints, that duty, that is only for older people. We have mentioned already that little maid. Oh, let us also mention Obadiah in 1 Kings 19. Oh, in 1 Kings 17, then Obadiah was given to testify that he feared the Lord from his youth. And what a comfort that must have been for the prophet Elijah when he met that Obadiah, who was hid the prophets of the Lord by 50s in a cave. Ah, that Elijah has spoken unadvisably. It is true. The prophet Elijah, he has employed his gifts. Oh, on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 18. What a boldness for his God. He has stood alone. But then in 1 Kings 19, he has come under the juniper tree, and then he has said, Lord, I am the only one left. And meanwhile, shortly before, he had met that Obadiah who has feared the Lord from his youth. Then in Matthew 14, when Christ has instructed the multitude, when they had nothing to eat, when Christ has commanded his disciples to feed the multitude, then an Andrew has come with the report of a little lad that had a little lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then, boys and girls, what has that little lad done? Has he now kept it all for himself? No, then he has given it to the disciples. Christ has broken it, and the multitude was fed. Then that lad may also partake thereof, boys and girls. When do you think that little boy would have been happier, if he kept it all for himself, or when he has given it to the disciples to give to the Lord Jesus Christ? That everyone must know it to be his duty, readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. And then may we be given to realize that our time is short. We read in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, for there is no work, no device, and no wisdom nor knowledge in the grave, whether thou goest the communion of saints. And then it must begin in the family circles, between husbands and wives, between parents and children. What a blessing when love may abound. What a privilege when in family circles there may be the fear of the Lord. Then the necessity of the unity, because it is written, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. The unity between the family, between the church and the school, and that communion and not a false peace, but around God's holy word, the all truth. Do we not read in Jude 3 that the church has been exhorted to contend for the faith entrusted unto the church? Let us first sing. Psalter 271, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Of mercy and of justice my thankful song shall be. O Lord, in joyful praises my song shall rise to thee. And what follows? 271, 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
the blessed benefits for the true Church of Jesus Christ, the blessed communion of the Church, the extensive duty of the Church in congregation. When we speak of the communion of saints, we live in a time where socialism is receiving such a great place in our country. And then maybe there are boys and girls, young people, when they hear of the communion of saints, then maybe they think that the socialist or the communist, that they have a biblical foundation. But there is a difference of day and night between the communion of the saints and as it is laid out and exhorted in the Holy Scriptures with the socialist. Because the socialist says, all that is thine, that must be mine. They think they have a right thereto, but in the way of the communion of the Church, as declared in the Scriptures, then it is a freewill offering. Think after the day of Pentecost, what a liberal hearts, but then of their own will, then they have brought those precious gifts for the welfare of the Church. Our third thought, the perfect forgiveness for the Church. What believest thou concerning the forgiveness of sins? We have heard of the foundation, the root of that communion. We have heard, in short, of the exercises of that communion. And now the instructors are given to speak of the blessing concerning the forgiveness of sins. And may there be many souls among young and old, with everything they have experienced, not to rest till they may experience the forgiveness of sins further declared in Lord's Day number 23, that God, that is the Father, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, thus that means that works are excluded. And then we may also add the benefit after the communion of saints. Then the Church also needs pardoning in the exercise of that communion, that they become ashamed, that they are given to smite upon their breast and say with the publican in the temple in Luke 18, God be merciful to me, a sinner. For the sake of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins. Do we not read in Isaiah 43, verse 25, that the Lord shall remember them no more? That does not mean that the Church forgets. Oh, think of Paul. Then he is never forgotten when he is written to the Corinthians. Then he has stated the grace of God. He has persecuted the Church of Christ. And neither my corrupt nature. Then we hear that the instructors, that they had much knowledge. Then the instructor is not given to speak of his backsliding. Then it is necessary to repent. But then the instructors are given to speak of a close life, because the more closer and tender the life of a child of God may be, the more they experience and the more they have to that warfare against that corrupt nature. But oh, the perfect satisfaction of the Lord Jesus Christ, against which I have to struggle all my life long. Oh, at the end, then that corrupt nature, it shall be laid in the grave, which Christ has sanctified for his people, but will graciously impute to me the righteousness of Christ, and then the church by true saving faith to embrace that blessed benefit, that I may never be condemned before the tribunal of God, that is the exercise of the church. Ah, for the child of God, then that tribunal that is set up in the court of conscience in the moment of regeneration, and now the blessings that our instructors are given to speak of, never to be condemned by the tribunal of God, young and old, are we? Have we now become a living member of that living church with that living King? Oh, it cannot be hidden. It is true. In Psalm 83, there is written of hidden ones, but they shall be known by their fruits. Ah, those duties for the church to be the salt of the earth and a light upon the hill, ah, to be profitable for our fellow man, and that for the coming of his kingdom and the glory of his great and worthy name. Then we have heard in this morning of him that sitteth on the white horse with a crown with a bow, and that he is going forth to conquer. May it please the King in these dark and solemn times that many may be gathered, and that also the solemn callings, that they may be made profitable for the child of God, oh, to experience the blessed things which our instructors have spoken of. We read in Isaiah 43, verse 21, "This people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise." Amen. Let us close. Lord, thou wast given in other Lord's Day, the sixth Lord's Day, that we as congregation, as a congregation, could not gather together. May that burden be felt. Wilt thou watch over us in the week which we have commenced? Wilt thou bless the labor of our hands, grant health, strength, and courage. Remember the mothers with the children at home, the fathers at work, wherever we are called to be. Wilt thou keep us from harm and from danger. Wilt thou remember when the consistory hopes to meet in this week, and gather us also together round about thy holy word. Lord, wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation. Wilt thou remember from the oldest to the youngest. Remember the mothers with the unborn. And Lord, may that communion of saints, may that be experienced as a fruit of the communion with thee, wrought by the Holy Spirit. Grant a prayer for one another. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter 370, the stanzas 1 and 2. How good and pleasant is the sight when brethren make it their delight to dwell in blessed accord. Then for the announcements, we have a correction and an addition. The consistory meeting, the Lord willing, is not on Thursday evening, but on Tuesday evening. And then the funeral for Mr. Wim van Wathuizen is on Tuesday at 11 o'clock and the Lethbridge Church by invitation only, Psalter 371 and 2. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.